America. This is the SEN MLB Podcast.
And g'day, everybody, and welcome to SEN Baseball. Joining me this morning behind the microphone and on the buttons is Xavier Player.
Fritter, how are you, mate?
I'm going beautifully, mate. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you.
How's your week been? Big baseball week now. We're down to the playoffs, final eight teams.
Very big baseball week, of course, two cracking wild card games to start it off and moving right into the division series. I think that if those two wild card games are anything to go by, it's going to be a fun 3 or 4 weeks as everything unfolds.
It sure does. I have seen a little bit. I tend to troll social media from time to time and have a look at certain things. A bunch of people, are you a fan of the one-game playoff? I did see a couple of posts from people thinking that it would be better to have a three-game series, maybe a five-game series for that final wild card spot. Where do you sit just in that wild card? One game, three games, five games? What do you like?
My logic is one game works perfectly because if you extend it out to three games, then there's the argument of, oh, why don't we go to five games? One game, everything on the line. You're playing for a spot in the division series. You're not playing to have a longer series. You're just playing to get into the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I think one game works perfectly. What do you think?
I'm with you. I'm with you on this. The one game, you know, as soon as I saw the stuff on social media, I just thought it was people dreaming, trying to come up with their own individual idea that hopefully somebody would grab and then they could run around and say, I came up with that idea first. One game and that's it. It's all on the line. You've already played 162. I mean, really, if you don't know where you stand by then, you're in trouble. And of course, they've set the MLB, set the season up to have just this one game, as you say, where everything is on the line. So personally, I'm also for a one-game playoff.
Because if you're going to change it, why not just have the first four teams out playing one game each, the two winners playing one game to get the wild card? Yeah. Why don't we just, you can expand it. Why let's have the whole league in the playoffs. You've got to have a point where you go, all right, enough's enough. And I think you're right. 162-game season is long enough. The cream rises to the top.
Sure.
Then, as we've seen in both wildcard games, two spectacular clashes, two wins by teams who could go very deep into the playoffs.
Absolutely. We're about to bring up some audio on that. But, of course, these wildcard games were Toronto versus the Baltimore Orioles, Toronto Blue Jays versus the Orioles in the American League. And the National League was the New York Mets versus the Giants. We'll go to the audio we've got here from the Toronto and Baltimore Orioles game.
To deep left field, and the ball game is over. An absolutely electrifying moment to send the Toronto Blue Jays into the ALDS against the Texas Rangers, and he knew it as soon as the ball left the bat.
That's Toronto there. Edwin Encarnacion with a monster home run there in that game. It was a tremendous game of baseball, really. Was tight there for a long time. Marcus Stroman threw six strong innings there, six strikeouts, four hits, and just the two runs in that one. And of course, the licking your lips type thing part about the marketing side of it, of course, is Toronto Blue Jays up against the Texas Rangers. And we're going to go into that a little bit more in depth a little later. We're going to speak to Alexis Brodnicki. Some would remember the name here. In Australia, she's done a bit of work here in Melbourne, worked up with the Brisbane Bandits also, but she's now writes for the Toronto Blue Jays over in Canada. So we're going to speak to her shortly. But in the National League wildcard game also, San Francisco Giants ended up winning that one, which keeps the even year hoodoo. The T-shirts are out, the emojis are out, the all sorts of it's a time for the what would you call it, the creative artists with their social media.
Yeah, it definitely is, and here's some highlights from that game.
1-1 and a fly ball well hit right field. Bruce is back, turns, and it's gone. Connor Gillespie with a 3-run homer in the top of the ninth to give the Giants the lead.
San Francisco Giants end up winning that one 3-0. That was again pitcher's duel like you wouldn't believe. Noah Syndergaard, of course, Thor ripped off. You know, he really threw a great game, 7 innings, 2 hits. And 10 strikeouts in that game.
I don't think he was ripped off because someone had to lose that game, and you've got two of the best pitchers in baseball going head-to-head. Someone's going to lose, and that game in itself is an advertisement for the one-game playoff. Why would
Absolutely,
you want to have
yeah.
two other guys come out the next night and try and replicate
try
that?
And replicate. You're right there. That's why, I mean, you know, I was going to argue for a three-game series to try and get some weird debate going, which I know you'd like to do from time to time, but it's just bad. I mean, I would have looked like Kevin Bartlett if I had just made up some crazy argument for the sake of saying something. But in that game, the NL wildcard game, of course, it was Syndergaard versus Bumgarner, and Bumgarner came out on top in that game. Fantastic performance, Madison Bumgarner, 9 innings, just gave up the 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, no runs in that game. So, I mean, he's had some sort of freaky record in playoff games. He's been phenomenal for the Giants when it comes to a one game winner takes all game.
I believe he still hasn't given up a postseason run as a pitcher. I think I read that somewhere
yeah,
the other day.
There's something like that. There's some stats running around. This day and age, it's hard to keep track of absolutely everything that these guys do, but you know, phenomenal performance, as I said, by Madison Bumgarner in that game. So, of course, just sort of signing off on all of this, the American League wildcard game, Toronto ended up moving on and the Orioles are out. So now Toronto plays the Texas Rangers in a lick your lips marketing game with Batista and Odor after last year's little dust-up. Do you remember the dust-up?
I do indeed. It's going to be very interesting to see if we see any sort of repeat of that or any animosity between the two players as this series unfolds.
Yeah, we know where it stands as we speak right now, of course. But as I said, we're going to speak to Alexis Brodnicki. Toronto doing beautifully in that series as it stands right now. And to wrap up the NL, of course, San Francisco Giants kicked out the New York Mets. And the Giants now move on to take on the Chicago Cubs, raging red-hot favourites to take this one out.
Oh, I think that could be the series of the postseason. The Giants have shown time and time again over the last few years they've got that winning formula. They just make things happen. We saw it on Wednesday during the wildcard. They have a way of getting results. I wouldn't be surprised if they take at least one off the Cubs, potentially two. I think this is hallmarked for being one of the greatest playoff series we've seen in a few years.
This Giants v Cubs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, to mine, from what I've seen of the remaining 8 teams that are in it right now, I think the winner might come from that series being Giants and the Cubs.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all. The other thing is we talk about someone like Bumgarner, who has such a phenomenal postseason record, coming up against the Cubs, who are so phenomenal on offense and have been all year, the only team in the league to win 100 games. Something is going to have to give, so it's going to be fascinating to see what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're gonna go to a short break right now, but as I mentioned just off the top, we're going to fly over to Canada and get Alexis Brodnicki on the line. Of course, she's a writer now for the Toronto Blue Jays. Has gone up and up since she's been here in Australia. So we're going to get Alexis on the line to discuss the current American League Division Series with the Toronto Blue Jays leading that one 2-0 as it stands right now. But we're going to go to a short break and be back with Alexis Brodnicki right after this.
Baseball is the largest spectator sport in the world. In 2015 alone, over 73 million people attended professional games in the United States, with 65 million people playing in over 100 countries around the world. Baseball is the world's second largest participation sport. Baseball is truly a game that everyone can enjoy. It's free to try and cheap to play, but most importantly, it's fun for all. From T-ball and Little League to seniors and masters, for the young and the young at heart, baseball is the perfect game for boys and girls, and moms and dads too. With over 105 local clubs in Victoria, get started by going to www.baseballvictoria.com.au to see how you can get involved today.
And welcome back to SEN Baseball. We're talking all things playoff as it stands right now. We're heading over to Toronto, and on the ground there, a name that we are all familiar with is Alexis Brodnicki. Alexis, are you there?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problems. Good to hear from you. The Blue Jays, of course, as we do know here, you bleed blue blood when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays. They did have a bit of a rough September leading into the playoffs, but you must be pretty excited, currently holding the lead 2-0, that you must be pretty excited with their chances here in this American League Division Series.
Oh, yeah, it's been a crazy turnaround. The offense was down for the month of September, and then coming into the wild card game, nobody even knew what was going to happen, and then now all of a sudden the bats are breaking out like everyone thought that they could do, but were worried that they might not do, and the pitching has been pretty solid all year long, and now heading into a third game with a chance to punch a ticket to the American League Championship Series with Aaron Sanchez on the mound is just kind of pretty much a dream come true for Toronto Blue Jays fans, I would have to think.
Donaldson, Encarnacion, Bautista, and Tulowitzki all had multi-hit games yesterday in Game 1 of the Division Series. How important are those four to getting across the line and getting through to the ALCS for the second straight year?
I think I heard most of that, but those four, the big hitters, obviously just like having them on their game is a huge asset for any team. Jose Bautista missed a lot of time this year. He didn't post the numbers that he has been over the previous years, so it's nice to feel that maybe that swing is back there for the Blue Jays. Edwin Encarnacion has just been doing it all year long. He led the Blue Jays and the American League and home RBIs, home runs. He's right up at the top there in all those categories. Trey Tulowitzki, I feel like he's been really underrated in Toronto because there are those other huge names up there above him. But I mean, I think he's batting in the sixth hole right now, which is unreal. He had a 3-run triple. He had a home run today. He's obviously a big part of the offense. And then Josh Donaldson, the reigning MVP of the league. There's just nothing that can, replace what he's done in the field with the bat, just all around for the Toronto Blue Jays over the last two seasons.
You mentioned Bautista's name in there as part of that, Alexis. Last year, there was a little punch-up that happened between Bautista and Odua from the Texas Rangers. Has much been made of that coming again together to play off for this division series? Has much been made of Bautista and Odua, the conflict from last year leading into this series?
Oh, yeah. It's been made into a much bigger deal than I think it is. Obviously, last year, Jose Bautista had the unforgettable bat flip in Game 5 of the American League Division Series. It's on T-shirts now. It's on posters. It's everywhere you can imagine, everywhere you want to find it. The bat flip is everywhere. The Rangers took exception to that a little bit. And then in May this year, the last game of the regular season between the two teams, Matt Bush, who pitched today, hit Jose Bautista with a pitch, and when he went in on a hard slide to second base, Odor took exception and punched him in the face. And it's been a huge, huge story coming into this. Everybody's been talking about it a lot, but I think the big thing coming out of that first game yesterday for the Blue Jays against the Rangers was that, that's how you fight back. You throw a 10 spot up on the board and nobody seems to worry about it anymore. You won that fight.
So has there been no niggle between the two teams just in these first two games of the series so far?
I think everyone's kind of just playing their game and taking it seriously and doing what they can to contribute. Nobody wants to get ejected from a game. Nobody is going to start something, I think, in something that is as important as this. You don't want that to be a factor. That doesn't mean that it won't be, especially maybe if the Rangers get down in the third game of the series. Things could change a little bit if they do need to use some relievers. I'm not sure how it might play in, but I mean, at this point, why would anyone start that fight? The Blue Jays are winning. They're doing exactly what they want to do, what they need to do. And the Rangers are losing and should be focused on trying to win. So I don't think that should be something that comes into play any longer.
Have the expectations changed for the Blue Jays organization now that they've had that playoff experience they had last year?
Oh, yes. Yes. When it started to look like the Blue Jays might not even make the postseason into September, the fans, obviously, very disappointed. There are a lot of fans who live and die with each game of the season, which I'm not really sure I understand how you can live that way, because everybody's going to, you know, lose at least 50 games. Everybody's going to win 50 games, and it's what you do with those 62 games in between that really matter. But there are a lot of people who are writing them off. I don't think organizationally anyone ever did that. Obviously, even with the struggles of guys like Jose Bautista and Josh Donaldson in September, you still knew that they're good players and they've been good players, and the anomaly is them not playing well. It's not the fact that they played well for so long. So I think everyone organizationally just felt like they would get it back, and it was just a matter of time, and, you know, would the playoffs be the time? And so far it looks like it is, which is a really, really nice thing for the organization to have and hold on to. But the expectations were certainly higher this year after making the playoffs for the first time in 22 years last season.
It was a really important win today to get that two-game break over the Rangers. J.A. Happ had a pretty reasonable outing, 5 innings pitched, 9 hits, but only allowed the 1 run. What were some of his strengths? He obviously had a lot of men on base. What did he do well when there were men on base?
I mean, J.A. Happ, he made the pitches that he needed to. Obviously, not all the time. He gave up some of those hits. But when it came to getting into jams, he was able to work out of them. He trusted his catcher and Russell Martin, what he was putting down, even though obviously some of the time it wasn't working out for them. But I think that all of the pitchers on the Blue Jays kind of have that confidence that the offense will be there. If they can get the job done on the mound, then the offense will be behind them. And it was today. And, you know, J.A. Happ has been the recipient of a lot of run support. I think he had the fourth most in the majors this year, over 6 runs a game, which helped him, obviously, into his 20 wins on the season. But it's just, I think, having that confidence and knowing, you know, that there's still time, there's still time to play, there's still a great team behind you, and they can get it done, and they have a lot of times before.
Alexis, I know the purpose of this call, of course, was to get a Toronto look at things. Now, I know from your point of view, they're going to go on and win the World Series. But just work with me here for a moment. In case the Blue Jays don't win, who do you see as the team to beat for this year's World Series?
Oh, the Chicago Cubs, for sure. They're the best team in baseball this year, all year long. Joe Maddon is a manager that we've seen a lot in Toronto when he was with the Rays. He seems to have a knack for knowing, you know, who to go to, when to go to them, how to get the best out of each of his players. And he's really, really done a good job since joining the Cubs. And the Blue Jays, we haven't seen the Cubs at all this year in Toronto. They're a team I definitely want to see. But they're also the team that I think everyone should be wary of.
Just sticking with the National League for a minute, the Cubs and Giants are facing off in the NLDS. The Giants have their even year streak going. They've won in 2010, 2012, 2014, and who knows what this year. Do you see the Cubs and Giants matchup as one that's going to be a close matchup?
Sorry, what was the last part of that?
Do you see the Cubs and Giants matchup in the NLDS being a close matchup, or do you see the Cubs running away with it?
I think it could be close, but I would have to give the Cubs the edge for sure. They've just been unreal. I mean, Chris Bryant has to be the Rookie of the Year. I think Jake Arrieta has been great. Obviously, Madison Bumgarner was unreal in the wild card game. But, you know, maybe close, but the Cubs still.
Alexis, look, we're going to have to leave it there. Really appreciate your time this morning, giving us a little insight into the Toronto and Texas series. Good luck for the rest of the way with your team, the Toronto Blue Jays, and we'll speak to you soon. But good luck and thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And great to talk to Alexis Brudnicki there, Toronto Blue Jays number one beat writer over there for the team. She's worked for the team all this season, done a terrific job for them. But another series, as you would know, X, that is well underway is your Boston Red Sox up against the Cleveland Indians. Now, my friend, things aren't looking so rosy as we speak. Currently down 1-0 in this division series, and by the looks of the scoreboard, not real flash as we speak right now.
1-0 in the series and 5-0 on the day as we speak. Now, I've said many, many times on air on this fantastic program this year that the Red Sox pitching was not good enough to win a championship. Rick Porcello, a 20-game winner, goes out and gives up back-to-back-to-back home runs yesterday. David Price, the $219 million. Yes, that's $40 million more than anyone else offered him over 7 years. Man comes out and gives up 5 runs in the first 3 innings. Oh, goody.
Oh, he's sounding positive. Aren't you glowing about it? To me, and we have talked about it as the season has gone along, there's so much of the season has been David Ortiz. His numbers have been phenomenal. There is absolutely no question. He's led the league in RBIs with 127. You do have an MVP candidate in Mookie Betts who's had a tremendous season. But I do know as we've gone along, you have questioned the pitching. And with so much of the offense seemed to be left to just two blokes, there doesn't be, Boston have done great to get there, just not sure if they've got the bullets in the chamber to actually take them to the next step.
Look, before I go any further, you're right. You can't take away from the offense. We have had a very strong offensive year, but you can't score 11 runs every night. And sadly, for 2 out of 5 nights, we need 11 runs to win. It might be David Price starting. It might be Clay Buchholz starting. We don't know who, but we are going to need 11 runs 2 nights out of 5. That's a fact. The Cleveland Indians have made a fantastic start to this series. I would hate to be taking anything away from them in that situation. For any team in playoff baseball to hit back-to-back-to-back home runs, something is definitely going right within your organization.
Yeah, and we do have some audio there of this was back in game one, particularly in the third inning, where the Cleveland Indians really went troppo, and here's some audio from that third innings of game one against the Boston Red Sox.
Perez getting the start. He was held to 61 games and only hit 183. Toward the track, and that ball is gone. And we're tied again. Deep right center field, and gone. Jason Kipnis. Lindor to the wall. That ball is gone. A home run derby has broken out here in the bottom of the third in Cleveland.
The big one there for me, Perez, the catcher, debuting in his playoffs for the Cleveland Indians. I think that was the first pitch that he's seen in playoff baseball. Ends up getting that rally of 3 home runs started. Tremendous performance by the essentially rookie in playoff baseball, Perez.
A fantastic performance from Perez, and for all the talk that the Indians were going to have no pitching, we mentioned a little bit last week the Terry Francona factor, and certainly at the moment that seems to be playing a huge part, and I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see the Red Sox rally in Game 3, but as it's looking at the moment, I see the Indians winning this series.
It's a best of 5, so
it is, yes.
You're saying they'll win it 3-3 zip?
I think the Red Sox will win 1 in Boston and Cleveland will clinch it in the 4th. But stranger things have happened. The two sides met in the 2007 ALCS and Cleveland were up 3-1.
Yep.
Red Sox go on to win that series 4-3, go on to sweep the Colorado Rockies, who of course that year won 22 of their last 23 games to make the playoffs.
Yes. Now, okay. So we're going to wrap this sort of part of it up now. We're going to go to a short break in just a moment, but let's just recap where these series are at right now. Toronto v Texas. Toronto currently lead that series 2-0. Do we feel Toronto's moving on to play for the league championship series?
You would think so, but Toronto all time at home in the playoffs, 14 win, 15 losses. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you're right there. You just gave us an update on where you feel the Boston and Cleveland, currently at one game to Cleveland Indians and holding the lead in game two as it stands right now. In the National League, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers up against the Washington Nationals. That game one currently underway. How do you see that series panning out?
I think the Dodgers get up because of the Nationals' attempts to switch things with their pitching rotation and player management, and I just think it's going to come back to bite them as it has in previous years. And as I say that, Justin Turner has hit a two-run home run for the Dodgers, and they lead that one 4-0 in the first. Very disappointing start from Max Scherzer so far.
So far, Scherzer has been off the boil, but the Dodgers have come to play, and this is the one that sort of makes or breaks the whole thing for me. Of course, the National League, the other division series game is the San Francisco Giants versus the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs have been the best team in baseball this year by a street. And the San Francisco Giants, of course, going for that even hoodoo, we'll call it whatever, superstition they won in 2010, 12, 14, and now in the playoffs here in 2016. How do you see that one panning out, Giants v. Cubs?
I said earlier in the show, I think this is going to be the best playoff series of the season. I think the Cubs get up. I think that Madison Bumgarner has proven to be human.
Yep.
And I think that this is the start of the Cubs getting to their first World Series in 70 years.
You said Bumgarner is human. 9 innings, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts and no runs. That's a pretty phenomenal performance, but yes, he is human, and it's going to take some almighty bats to get over him, though.
Something's got to give, Fritter.
Something's got to give. I'll just go through some of the leaders of at the end of the season. Of course, it is, some say, silly season, but all the awards start to come out. I'll just give you the leaders that there were in the majors in certain categories this particular season. In the American League, Jose Altuve has won the Rod Carew Award. He hit .338. It's the second time in 3 years that he's won that award. He ended up with a league-leading 216 hits. In that, Mookie Betts came second from Boston with a .318 average. Leader in home runs was Mark Trumbo with 47, hit one in the division series in that wild card game, excuse me. Ended up with 48 for the season. And, of course, Boston's David Ortiz led the way with 127 RBIs. In the National League, DJ Lemieux, he won the Tony Gwynn Lemahu, I've been told. DJ Lemahu has won the Tony Gwynn Award for the best hitter of the National League. He had a .348 average. And, of course, the guy we have talked quite a bit about, Daniel Murphy, came from the Mets. He moved across to the Nats, and he hit .347, came in second place. And on the home runs and RBIs, Nolan Arenado, he led the way with 41 home runs and drove in 133 RBIs. Phenomenal season there from Arenado. And Chris Carter also tied with him with 41 home runs. On the pitching side of things, the American League, the Blue Jays, Aaron Sanchez had the best ERA in the American League with a flat 3 ERA. The National League, the Cubs, Kyle Hendricks had a phenomenal year with a 2.13 ERA. And John Lester also had a pretty good year from the Cubs. There's two of the starters that will be coming up later on today in that division series. John Lester's ERA was 2.44. And for the wins in the American League, Rick Porcello from the Red Sox had a pretty good season, but too much left to too few as we're looking right now. But Rick Porcello from the Red Sox went 22-4 in the wins. And on the National League side of things, for the Blue Jays, left-hander J.A. Happ had 20 wins and 4 losses. And just to finish off, we've got the strikeouts for the year. Max Scherzer led the way of all Major League Baseball, 284 strikeouts. And Justin Verlander for the other league, he threw 254 strikeouts for the year. And one last piece of housekeeping that we've got, the draft has been announced. Just the top six teams as the order stands right now for the draft. The Minnesota Twins have the first pick because they stunk this year. Cincinnati Reds will be in second place. San Diego Padres in third. The Rays are in fourth. The Braves in fifth. And the Oakland A's are in sixth place. That's it for the housekeeping duties. We are all done there. We're going to go to a short break, but stick with us. You're on SEN Baseball.
This is Shane Lindsay from Chicago White Sox. You're listening to SEN Baseball.
Welcome back. There's all sorts of other baseball news that does happen around the tracks as we go, X. One of the big ones is the WBSE, World Baseball Softball Confederation. The biggest tournament of the year for them is coming up in Mexico. Australia is a part of that. Is the under-23s in Mexico. Australia is drawn in the group with Japan, Chinese Taipei, Nicaragua, Argentina and Austria. The ranking points that do come for this particular tournament, as I said, this is the biggest international tournament of the year. 690 points will be going to the first place finishing team. Then it ranges down to 551 for second, 502 for third. And it ranges down to 12th place. Last place there, 12th position, will get 60 points. So first place, 690, and last place will get 60 points, which is all important for world standing these days leading into Premier 12 competition and the like. And correction I will make just off the top of my head now. I did see recently we have talked about the way that the WBSC has lined things up. I was under the assumption that the Premier 12 tournament might be a lead into the Olympic Games.
Yep.
Because there is only six places available for the Olympic Games. So with the next Premier 12 in 2019 and then the Olympics in 2020, I thought the top six positions of the Premier 12 tournament in 2019 might have been the final placings for the teams that go into the Olympic Games in 2020. I did happen to read an article during the week that said that it hasn't been decided how these teams are going to be arranged. There is more major funding from WBSC going to New Zealand baseball to open an academy over there. And there was some comments in the article just regarding that there will be somebody from the Oceania region. So it led me to sort of feel that there might be a specific tournament played down this way, Oceania, for the team that will represent from this part of the world. It's a yet to be decided thing yet, but I was just led to believe that it might be that way where a tournament will be played for here.
Given that information, that to me looks like we could be seeing a repeat of the WBC qualifier that was in Sydney earlier this year.
Yes.
Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the Philippines. That to me seems like the most logical answer to that question.
Yes. I had the same thought, you know. It just made me feel that the same sort of thing may be going to happen. But as I say, the comments in the article were rather vague and aloof. It was more about the extended funding going to New Zealand baseball for an academy and the like that way. But then there was some vague kind of references towards the Olympics and who would represent at the Olympics as it went along. But that's news that will come to light as we go along.
Now, just before we go any further, Fred, just want to jump back to the 23s for a second.
Australia
in a group with Japan, Chinese Taipei, Nicaragua, Argentina and Austria. Where do you think the under-23 Australian team would look at and go, if we finish here in our group, that's a success?
First?
Okay. That's a big ask. Where do you see them finishing? And where do you think they'd be happy with?
In all reality, right now, with the teams that I have seen that are in this tournament, of course, the United States is not part of this under-23 World Cup. They are not representing at this tournament in Mexico. To me, Australia has to aspire to a top six finish every time. Every tournament that goes, and this is from the male side of things, from the female side of things, they should, their real chance to go out and win a lot of these particular tournaments, or at least a medal, top three. But from the male side of things, we have to aspire to be in the top six positions. There is a little vague rumour / comments getting around that, for example, the World Baseball Classic does start in Asia. There's one pool of the tournament will be in Korea, one pool will be in Japan. From Australia's point of view, we are up against Japan, Cuba and China.
China sounds right.
Chinese Taipei is a tricky one right now. I don't know if you've read what's going on there, but there's a real bung fight going on Chinese Taipei about who should or shouldn't represent. The Lamego Monkeys have refused any of their players to be a part of that tournament. So it'll be interesting to see where Chinese Taipei end up standing in that.
Just confirmed, we are in a pool with Japan, Cuba and China.
So right now, the comments that I've heard, Australia is all guns blazing to win one game. They are going to throw all their eggs at China to win that game and see where the other two games land from there. But right now, they are throwing all their eggs to win the Chinese game. Other great news that has gone on around the place is young Geordie Barnett. We should have got Willow on for this, but it's Willow's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Willow.
Mr. B.A. Wilson, it's his birthday today, so he's not. He was really unwell the last time he was here.
Yep.
Seems to be a common theme just at the minute, yep. But he was celebrating his birthday last night and today, little two-day affair. But one of his players from the Southern Mariners who went over to the US, ended up making it to the final of that particular tournament, did a tremendous job. But Geordie Barnett from the Southern Mariners has committed to the University of Maine for a college education / baseball career over there. So big congratulations to Geordie Barnett.
Absolutely fantastic to see lots of young Australians signing to play college. Of course, the benefits of college sport are not only do you get that extra experience from a sporting perspective, you're also guaranteed an education, part of which is funded, which for anybody is a dream come true to have their education funded. Another interesting thing to come out this week is coming closer to home with the Australian Baseball League and a big name signing for the Melbourne Aces in Alan D. San Miguel.
Yes, I was just going to go through what are the names that we do have to this particular point. I'll go to the Aces first, seeing as you've raised them there, clubby. And as you mentioned, Alan D. San Miguel was confirmed this week. Big rumour also getting around that my spies tell me from this radio station that Josh Tolles may be a chance to also throw on an Aces uniform this particular year. But other Aces that are confirmed, Brad Harmon, Darryl George, Peter Moylan, Mike Walker, Josh Davies and Shane Lindsay. Other teams that have made some announcements, the Adelaide Bight, Angus Roger, Steve Chambers, Stephen Welsh, Connor O'Gorman and Mitch Denning going to the Adelaide Bight. The Brisbane Bandits have named quite a few over the last few days. Logan Wade, Justin Erasmus, Andrew Campbell, Reese Knitt, Mitch Nilsson, Sam Holland, Ryan Battaglia, Matt Timms, David Sutherland and Aaron Whitfield. Canberra Cavalry have named a couple in David Candlis and Boss Mona Roa. Candlis, of course, moving from the Sydney Blue Sox. And the Blue Sox have named Josh Dean, Craig Anderson and Trent D'Antonio. They're names that we sort of do have confirmed at this stage. As you mentioned, Alan D. San Miguel was announced yesterday, I think it was, as a confirmed signing for the Melbourne Aces, and a heavy rumour that Josh Tolles will also turn up with the Aces this year.
Turning our focus towards the Aces for a second, we know that they've struggled in the last few years. Certainly the road hasn't been kind to them. They are the only team in the league yet to win an away series. That stat was fun when I found it at the start of season two. It's not fun anymore.
It was fun 3 years ago.
Certainly
now it's
not.
Now it's, we're into season seven. Haven't played 500 baseball.
Yet to win an away series.
And haven't won a road series.
And haven't made the playoffs in 4 years. It's a sad state of affairs down at Laverton. But do you see this as being the year that things change around for them?
I see this year as, just to sort of weigh things up, MLB have pulled out of baseball. They've pulled out in some areas. They are still funding some areas, but have pulled out in some areas. What I've seen in the last month from the Australian Baseball League, if that had have started 6.5 years ago, we might be in a different position. But now that MLB has pulled funding in certain areas, the league looks to be doing okay with announcements and things like that. What they're doing is announcing players that we knew were going to play anyway. There's a couple that are fresh and new. But as I say, the Aces will put together a decent team, and they may be competitive and might actual challenge for a playoff and / championship spot this year. Yeah, going out on a limb. But it's also 7 years too late.
Absolutely. And another rumour that's been doing the rounds over the last week and a half to 2 weeks relates to streaming of games online. And the rumour doing the traps is that it will be one game from each series per weekend that is being streamed.
Yeah, myself, I only sort of heard that one over the last day or two. The season has been reduced down to 40 games. And yes, there is this rumour, I'm doing the air quote, rumour about the coverage of games. If you're playing a four-game series, they will cover one of those particular games. How they're going to decide that, I'm not too sure. To me, it poses a number of particular questions, as the league has in this off-season, just posing questions more than answers. You know, throwing up a nice little graphic of a picture of a guy and a tweet saying he's signed with us today. Well, that's here nor there because these guys were going to play anyway. You know, will Beresford come back and play some games? We know Moylan has already committed to pitching coach for the Aces and will prepare after Christmas, New Year, turn it into an extended spring. And then for the World Baseball Classic, most of these guys are putting their hand up because they want to be part of the World Baseball Classic. Again, the questions it poses to me, will they be here next year? Will they be here the year after that? The rumour of DeSan Miguel was that he wants to throw his toe in the water with the managing side of things, so there might be a Melbourne scenario X. You're right across the Simon Goodwin and Paul Roos situation where Roos put his hand up for a couple of years and was always going to hand it over to Simon Goodwin, which has happened now. The word that I'm sort of hearing is that DeSan Miguel might be in the same setup where Deeble manages for a year or two, give DeSan some experience in the managing side of things, and then hand it over. But I'm always concerned, whereas DeSan Miguel will be playing. So now you've got a player / coach. And to me, if this league's fair dinkum, I don't think you can have that. So it'd be interesting to see how they try and transition that.
Not only in his player-coach role, but a player-coach who's playing catcher. That's responsibility upon responsibility upon responsibility for mine, and that's a lot on his plate.
Yeah, he is a great catcher. There's no doubt about that. He's caught at the AAA level with Kansas City this year. Spent most of the season at the AA level, but did have a cup of coffee up at AAA and has caught for Australia and has been a big part of the first six seasons and heavy success over there for the Perth Heat. So they are getting somebody with great credentials, but let's not shy away from the fact that it's because we've got no catchers here in Melbourne. That's why they are going out to try and get him. And plus, DeSan wants to be part of that World Baseball Classic. So, look, there's to me, there's a lot of questions. Whether the answers come or not, we'll have to wait and see, but this is leading into season 7 for the Australian Baseball League, and we'll just have to wait and see how it all pans out. But you know, that's the end of my list. I'm not sure if you have any more, but my list is done with topics for today.
No, that pretty much covers it for me as well.
So with that having been said, there are games underway. We are still watching baseball here. The Washington Nationals just got back into this game, currently 4-2 as it stands right now. The other game, I think Boston are done and dusted.
Absolutely done, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're done for the year pretty soon.
We'll have to wait and see halfway through this game too, currently down 1-0 against the Cleveland Indians. That is the greatest mullet ever from Robbie Ross.
Robbie Ross, yes. It's a worrying sign when he's coming on this early in the game, but as we said, the Indians now still lead at 5-0 in the bottom of the fifth, so dangerous times coming up for the Red Sox, potentially.
Dangerous times ahead. Anyway, well, look, we're done and dusted for this week. These division series are yet to go. We'll have to wait and see how that pans out. Next week, of course, we'll be down to American League Championship Series and the National League Championship Series. So for now, that's all we have here on SEN Baseball. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the SEN MLB podcast. For more SEN America podcasts, head to sen.com.au. To keep up to date with the latest American sports news and interviews from around SEN, follow SEN America on Twitter at SEN America and on Facebook at facebook.com/SEN America.